This is Roland Chidiac Connects, a podcast about motivation and inspiration. Ever wonder what drives people to do what they do? Join me as I connect with a variety of people who have great stories to tell about what inspires them, ignites their passions, and leads them to make a difference in their work and the people around them. This is episode 51 of Roland Chidiac Connects, a podcast about motivation and inspiration. And as I say episode 51, I can't believe that I've gotten to speak to 50 people about what motivates them, what inspires them, the kind of work that they're doing inside and outside of education. And so today I get to talk to my 51st guest, and it's Jennifer Casa Todd, who I'll be speaking to. And currently Jennifer is a teacher librarian in Aurora, Ontario. And I'm going to let her talk a little bit about the work that she does as a teacher librarian. I have spoken to another librarian earlier on, and I was saying how jealous I was because of this role now, the teacher librarian role in education, to me, seems to be a really cool role that involves more than just signing out books and reading to little kids. There's a whole digital piece to it. There's a 21st century component that is really attractive to me. But, you know, my board, we don't have teacher librarians anymore. So for me, it's not going to be a reality. But it's too bad because I could see myself doing this kind of work. So I'm hoping that either Jennifer blows me away with the work she's doing as a teacher librarian, or she makes it sound so boring that I don't feel bad that I won't be able to do this type of work. Jennifer is also a new author. She has published a book called Social Leadia, Moving Students from Digital Citizenship to Digital Leadership. And I'm really hoping she talks about that on the podcast, because I believe it's good stuff, and I think that you'll appreciate it as well. So I'm gonna stop talking for now, and I'm gonna welcome Jennifer to the podcast. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you so much, Roland. I appreciate you having me on here, and I'm really happy to be here.
And oh, yes, I'm glad to hear
sorry,
that.
I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you about how awesome it is to be a teacher librarian. I really am.
That's okay. You know what? It's either, you know, pure disappointment for me, or you blow my socks off. So I rather you tell me about all the awesome things that you do and, you know, the work that a teacher librarian does these days. So let's start there. What do you do as a teacher librarian?
Okay, well, I need to qualify that by saying that I just started the position in September. And unfortunately, I was off. I had incurred a concussion on October 31st. So I haven't been a teacher librarian for an awful long time. I've only been in there for a few months. But in the time that I was there, and now I'm on a modified schedule and back in there again, it has been an incredible, incredible opportunity to get to work with students. We do a grade 9 orientation program for students. We familiarize them with databases, research skills. We use Google Apps for Education in our board, so I familiarize them with the suite and how to look up books, and then we do some fun things for that. And I do talk about digital leadership with the students as well, in building a positive online presence. I've been able to work with one of the grade 9 teachers who we connected with a school in Norway, which was an incredibly amazing experience. I actually do talk about it in the book, because many of these students, most of the students, had never connected with students from another school, and we learned so much about Norway as a result of that project. And then I was able to connect another teacher with Fabiana Casella in Argentina, Buenos Aires, and the kids had an ongoing relationship and conversation, and that was really exciting to me as well. And basically, I'm able to co-plan, co-teach, and co-assess with teachers in my school. I'm able to assist students, not just with what they want to read, but research skills and using Google Apps for Education. I haven't done as much professional learning with teachers as I've wanted to, just because I wasn't there, but certainly we're starting with virtual reality. I've been able, with the generous support of our parent council, we're equipped with virtual reality headsets to begin our school year. So I'd love to do some professional learning around that. And we've got Breakout EDU, and I worked with TVO on a webinar for that. So I can't wait to get some of my teachers and students creating Breakout EDU. But it's just a fabulous, fabulous place to be. It really is the hub of the school. I've been so fortunate to have an administrator who's been extremely supportive of me. And I also get to run some of the social media accounts and some clubs. We have a new coding club this year that was run through the library because I wanted to learn how to code. So I've got some students there. And then we had a book club, some incredible stuff that they were reading and thinking. And then we connected with a school in Uganda, and we were able to create podcasts for them, actually. And we got a solar-powered speaker and solar-powered MP3 player so they could play it. And then we look forward to a continued collaboration with them next year. That was through the book club. And then I had a TED-Ed club for the first time this year, which unfortunately, because I was away, dwindled a little bit. But what a fabulous program that is. And it's a great way for students to gain some oral communication skills and to really express their passions and their desires. So those are the three clubs that I was able to run through the library as well. I'm sure I'm missing things, but that's just a little bit of what I do. It's lots of different things.
Okay, lots of amazing things. Wow, coding, VR, book club, TED-Ed club. We just finished our TED-Ed club today, and this was the second time we ran it at our school, blown away by what the students end up putting together and watch them grow in confidence, in leadership as they get to the end. So you're in for a treat there, that's for sure. Good. You're in high school? Are you in high school?
Yes, I'm in high school. We have about 1450 is our current enrollment. So
I just assumed, and I don't know why, I just assumed that you were an elementary teacher librarian. I don't know why.
No. Well, prior to my position, I was a literacy consultant at the board and a program resource teacher. And so in that role, and then I helped to run our 21C initiative. And the 21C initiative was K-12. So I was able in that position to work with a lot of teachers, and I tweeted a lot about it. So that could be why you may have thought that
I just assumed K-12. Yeah. I knew what you did before. I just assumed that you were an elementary teacher librarian. I don't know why. I'm going to have to reflect on that, and I'll get back to you for sure.
No worries. I want to go respect for them. That's for sure. I love teacher librarians.
You gave me so much good information that I need to stop, and I need to go back. I hope you're feeling better with respect to your concussion. You're on a modified schedule now, so you're just starting to get back into the swing of things?
Yes. And of course, it's exam time now, which is good. And then I just plan. I had a lot of things on the go prior to the concussion. I was doing my master's and had written most of the book in the summer, and then just juggling lots of things, conferences and whatnot. And that all kind of had to come to a halt. Quite dramatically. And I, you know what? I'm not feeling horrible, so it's great. I've definitely, you know, I'm so much improved, but I'm not myself yet. So I'm going to give my brain a rest this summer as much as I can, I think. So.
Well, I'm happy that you're getting better. That's good, because I know, concussions are weird things. Sometimes they can do really nasty things to people, and sometimes they don't. So I'm happy that you're coming back to your normal self, and that, you know, it sounds to me from what you're telling me, you're getting back into it, and that's great. I'm happy to hear that. And I'm happy that you could join us, because, you know, this podcast is so stimulating that it's going to really work your brain tonight. I can feel it.
It's okay, because I'll go straight to bed after, so it's all good.
Oh, perfect. Yes, I have been known to put people to sleep, so that's a good thing too. Okay, so let's move on a little bit then. I appreciate you telling us about the work that you're currently doing, your new role and the plans that you have for this role. It sounds very exciting. Sounds right up your alley based on what I know of you and the kind of the work that you did before you became a teacher librarian. So let's shift gears a little bit and let's go to the book. So how does one wake up one morning and decide that they're going to write a book? How does that happen? What was your process?
You know what? I have to say I owe it all to George Kuros, actually. We were at he's become a really good friend of mine. He did some work at our district, and we just we're very passionate about the same thing. So we've become good friends. And we were at FETC, which is the Florida Educational Technology Conference, last year. And there were a bunch of us, and there was a cocktail party. And he just said to a publisher, I won't tell you which publisher it was at the time, but he said, "This is Jennifer, and she's a great writer. You should talk." And then I found myself, so he walked away, and I found myself suddenly pitching this book idea to this woman I had never met. And I didn't even know where the book idea came from, because I hadn't even, I was an English major. So you always imagine you're going to write a book. Like, I always dreamed of writing a book, but it was a novel that I imagined myself writing. And so to then suddenly talk to this woman and then, you know, give her my information and give her my blog. Now, unfortunately, it didn't work with that publisher. And when the news came, like, she said, you know, maybe you need some more time. And basically, I was rejected. I went home and was so devastated. And I think that's when I realized I have to write this book. Like, this is in me. This wasn't just a passing, you know, thing. My daughter said to me, "Mom, you can wallow." She's now 17. She's, I guess it was 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. She said to me, "Mom, J.K. Rowling was rejected lots of times." And she said, You have to get over this. She goes, we can have ice cream and wallow for tonight, but tomorrow you need to get over this. And so I was like, all right. So that's when I pitched it to Dave Burgess Consulting. And it was actually a year ago coming up right now. I sent them a couple of chapters, and they were in Hawaii, and they liked what I had to say. And we signed a contract almost right away after that. So, and they're incredible. I'm so blessed. You know, everything happens for a reason. I'm so blessed to be working with them. They really are innovating the publishing industry. And it's been a hard road because it was supposed to be due on December 1st. And of course, I was lying in a dark room. So you know what? It came out a little later than it was supposed to, but that's okay, because it's all good. And I do love the way it turned out in the end. So that's great.
Awesome. Okay. So you pitch an idea and then you actually have to write a book. So where do you go from there? Do you just start, you break everything down and you just start, you just like, I have no idea. Right. So I want to pick your brain and just hear about, you pitch your idea, and your idea is, I guess, moving students from digital citizenship to digital leadership, correct?
It is.
What does that mean, really?
Okay. So, and again, it goes back to George. When George was at our district, I went to a parent night that he went to, that he was facilitating. And during the day, I mean, he talked about the innovator's mindset, and I'm all about that. But then at night, I was sort of wearing the parent hat. And he started to talk about the positive aspects of social media. And I'm like, that's not the way I am at home. I'm actually a mama bear at home, and I control what my kids are doing. And I'm really, really afraid. Like, think about all the things we're afraid of as parents, in terms of getting our kids out there. Right. And so really that sort of sat with me, and I thought, I love that, but you know, when he talked about students, and that was what was really different too, right? Because he defines digital leadership as using the vast reach of technology, especially social media, to improve the lives, well-being, and circumstances of others. Now, that is so contracultural and contra everything that you hear. And so he brought up a couple of examples of students who are doing this, and I thought, wow, that's really incredible. And then I would say, so that was in April. I would say a couple of months later, my daughter is interviewed for a job and they ask her, what social media are you on? And what would I learn about you if I go there? And that's, I think, where I had my aha moment, because I thought, my kid can't say anything, because when she really wanted to do a vlog for, she wants to be a marine biologist, and we were on our way to Boston, and she wanted to vlog about it. And, you know, that's her passion. And I said, oh, yeah, honey, you can. But, you know, as long as your face isn't on it and your name isn't on it, you know, because I was so afraid. And then here I was going, oh, my gosh. So really, that's what set me out on my journey. And so this book was me finding all the kids that I could that inspired me, that were using social media to learn and share learning, to empower others, and to be a more positive influence on others. And you know what happened? The more I looked, the more I found. And that's where that the book for me was shaped around these kids. Because we talk about student voice so often, but I don't know that we really know what that means. You know, we don't often invite them to tables where I think their voices could be valuable. And so I wanted this book to be the voices of students intermingled with the experiences of teachers who are empowering students to be really positive forces online. And so each chapter is actually framed by a student vignette. Students that have actually written. And so I have students from grade 3 to grade 12 and a recent graduate writing who've written these vignettes for the book, and they're great, great inspirations. But, you know, even, you know, I always joke because you finish the book, right? You have a deadline and you have to publish it. And then I keep meeting all these really awesome people and these awesome kids. And so, you know, then thank goodness I have a blog, right? And I've created complimentary resources for the book on a website. So at least I feel like, okay, this isn't a finite thing. I can continue to have these conversations. And really, that's what I say the book is. The book is meant to inspire you to think differently about social media. And it's meant to really start conversations that we're not having about social media, but using social media in the classroom, but we really need to have. So then it came together in my head, right? Like, because then for every vignette that I got, I built the chapter around, and that's probably not what you should do as an author. I have no idea, but I had all these stories and I wrote them all down. And then I had the vignettes, and then I tried to organize them that way. But the organization was the hardest thing for me, because I was really saving that for once I had it all down. And then of course I had my concussion. I was really grateful to, Erin Casey was the editor, for DBC, and she did developmental editing, so she really did help. And George was instrumental in helping with the organization of that too, just because, you know, at that point I wasn't cognitively able to read the whole book. I don't think that that's the typical author experience. I will say though, that by the end of last summer, I had, you know, I want to say in excess of like 12,000 extra words. And the book is actually one of the longest, and even like I cut that, and then it's still one of the longest books that Dave Burgess Consulting has ever published. So, I just didn't know, like, it's all full of stories, and it was hard for me to cut one. It felt so personal, you know? Anyway.
Well, thank you for sharing your process. I I don't know if there's a set way to write a book, but I think it's great that you did it your way and that you were free to do so. I mean, I think writing is a very like individual, it's an individualistic type thing in my opinion. And I think, it'll be neat to see your style. I do want to get my hands on your book, so it'll be neat to see how you did things. And I think it's cool. The backstory is always cool. I've spoken to a couple of people who have written books, and none of you have said that there's one true formula to do it. Maybe there is. I don't know. But I think it's cool when you don't follow a formula and you just do what works for you. Mm-hmm. But I've not written a book. I can barely write an essay. So that's where I'm coming from. Okay, you talked about the innovator's mindset, and I want to go there for a second just to provide some context for my listeners. So you and I have connected over Twitter for a while now, and I've even met you in real life, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But when you were doing the book study for Innovator's Mindset, you had a huge Voxer group going, and I remember, so when I think of you now, I think of the time I met you in Kitchener. But then the second thing I think of is how open and inviting you were when you were doing the book study on Voxer. And I remember saying to you, hey, I've not read the book yet, but I would love to be part of this because from the tweets I'm reading, there's a lot of good stuff happening here. There's a lot of great conversation that I would love to jump into. And you were more than happy to let me participate. And I believe that people jumped in after me, and it was just people would hit you up and say, hey, this is great. Can I jump in? And you seem to just let people jump in. And there were these amazing conversations going on via Voxer. And I wanted to put that out there because I think that speaks to your character and the type of person you are. And it truly does demonstrate your love for lifelong learning and asking the tough questions and engaging people in conversation. I thought it was funny at one point, a couple of weeks in, it seemed like people were joining daily and kind of asking the same questions over and over again. And you seemed really good at politely answering the question. And I think you answered the same question like 25 times. And I was like, if that was me, I would have lost my mind a long time ago. So good for you for taking that on and providing that opportunity and that experience for teachers from all over the place. Like the other thing was daily people would come on and say, hi, I'm so-and-so from such and such. And it was just so amazing to hear and connect with these teachers who truly were from different places all over. That was awesome. So mm-hmm. Thank you for doing that. And like, are you going to be doing something like that with your book?
So before I answer that question, I just want to go back to Voxer for a second, because Voxer has been a social media platform upon which I have been, I guess, for almost 2 years and have met so many amazing educators from all around the world. And so when George, we were having this book club, I said, you know, one of the things I would love to do is to be able to dig deeper using this platform. And I don't, George doesn't love Voxer, and a lot of people were very, very new to it. So I was just so excited. You're saying patient, but I was just so excited for people to try out something new in this platform that, you know, it wasn't a bother at all to invite people. I was just so excited for them to see what something else is all about and to take a risk, right? It's hard to take a risk and then not have someone celebrate you on the other side, you know? But so that's sort of the backstory with Voxer. And, you know, I probably, if there's a desire to do a Voxer group for the book, I certainly would. One of the things I'm doing, just because I don't know, Voxer does take a lot of time, but I wanted to try Flipgrid. I love Flipgrid. Our Lisa Noble, I think you know her, she's a teacher out in Peterborough, and last mm-hmm. year it was her 50th birthday, and Tina Zita, who is awesome, she's from Peel, we got together and we did happy birthday messages to her through Flipgrid because we couldn't go to her party. And ever since then, I've just been so, like, I love Flipgrid. I love the idea of reflection and being able to reply to one another. And whereas Voxer is audio-based. With Flipgrid, you can see one another. So it really doesn't, it feels like you're getting to know people. And so what I have done on socialmedia.org, which is the complimentary website, is I have created a Flipgrid with a discussion question for each chapter. And I'm really hoping that people dive in and try that, just again, to try a new tool that they might use in the classroom, but also so that I could see them and hear them and we can have a conversation. Because I feel like I can't say in the book, you know, this is an ongoing conversation and then not give people an avenue to really continue the conversation. And that was really, really important to me. So I didn't know at the time if I would pick Voxer, but in the end I went with Flipgrid and we'll see how it goes. You know, these things tend to evolve. So.
Well, I like the way that you've already considered how people can jump into real life conversation, discussion. That's the new way, I believe. Like putting out a book and then just letting it be out there without really considering the things you're talking about. I think those days are like when you say what you're doing, like it makes your book much more attractive because people know it's not just going to end when they start the book and get to the end of the book. There's going to be opportunities for them to answer questions, to reflect, to connect with other people. Mm-hmm. I think that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we're at today. So kudos to you for whether you came up with it or what you like, you're picking up ideas from using the different tools. It's great. And it's really awesome for people to hear about as you talk about it.
Yeah, I don't think any author has done this because I've been chatting with Flipgrid about it, saying, hey, you know, I almost wanted to say, hey, you should have given me my first subscription for free, but I didn't. but I do think, you know, I'm sure people will use Flipgrid in this capacity. So I love that. But, you know, it's also the nature of the topic, Roland, right? That it's ever changing, right? So I in particular, this topic, I don't think you could do without having some way of people, you know, getting clarification. Like this is for some people, some of the things I'm suggesting are just too scary to contemplate. And so again, it's my hope that they feel like they can try it and that there's a support system there for them as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. I would love to hear what generally motivates you.
I think what genuinely motivates me, you know, so much of it is my kids are always like, you're such a teacher. Learning and watching when somebody learns something new, that sort of passion in their eyes. When I learn something new, I get so excited. And so as geeky and nerdy as that sounds, it really is learning something new. And that happens, you know, when you see a baby, you know, who's taking their first steps, or in our high school, you know, where these, you know, tough and rough kids are, you know, they think they know it all, but then they show you something and you show them something. And then there's just that really cool symbiotic relationship that comes from learning something new.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. Speaking of learning, you're going to be at ISTE soon, correct?
Yes. I should be working on my presentation.
Well, I'm really happy that you're not for this little bit. And I promise I won't keep you for too long.
But, oh, no, no.
Are you able to tell us what you're going to be presenting at ISTE?
Yes. Actually, when I did put in my presentation topic, it was based on the book. So I'm hoping to inspire people, not to buy the book necessarily, but inspire people to really think differently about using social media in their classrooms and use it for digital leadership. Like I keep thinking, one of the premises in the book is if we had a class account, right? Mm-hmm. And because our kid, when they're too young, the kids can't use social media. And I know you and I have talked about your class account, but so often I see the class account being run by a teacher who makes all of the decisions, where we do nothing but sort of take pictures and sort of sell. And I think that's great, right? Like it really does. I think the communication with parents when they're, looking at through that lens of what you did in class, like it changes conversation. So I think that's amazing. But what I think we're not doing is we're not engaging our kids to, or not empowering our kids rather to engage with the tool. So not enough classes are saying, this is what winter looks like in ours. What does winter look like to you and connecting with another classroom? Or the teachers aren't saying, here's a great, here's a math problem. Try this out with your parents and do that, right? Like, so we complain that our kids don't really know how to respond to one another online, but we really are not giving them the skills to do that. And then we complain about kids, their narcissistic tendencies, right? Like with the selfies and with turning off their notifications and all of this, but they're never really getting this modeled. The people that kids follow on Twitter, they're entertainment, they're celebrities, they're not learning spaces at all, unless there's a teacher who shows them that there's an alternative narrative there, right? So I really feel like we can make a dramatic difference in the way people are comporting themselves online if we started earlier and we embraced social media in the classroom as an opportunity to transform learning. And right now, I think we're just so afraid of all the bad things that it's like William Dwyer says. He says, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And I truly believe that, right? So I've sought out all these kids and continue to find more and more and more awesome kids who are doing some pretty special things online. But if we're not open to that and we're not helping the kids who don't have that caring adult at home who's helping them, where do they get it? They're in these spaces on their own. And then we wonder, why some of them are behaving so poorly. Anyway, so ISTE, I'm just hoping to change hearts and minds, just with some solid examples that I bring in the book, and some research as well. Not a lot of research, but definitely there is research out there. Dana Boyd is someone I really, really admire. I've learned a lot from her, and the latest book, Participatory Cultures in a Networked Era, by her, Mimi Ito, and Henry Jenkins. Just a fascinating read. And I was fortunate in my master's course, really, really supportive dean and a professor, and I was able to do a self-directed course on social media and education. So a lot of the research that I do bring up in my presentation as well as in the book came about as a result of being able to pursue the topic at the graduate level. So it's pretty cool. Anyway, so that's my ISTE presentation in a very long-winded answer.
I like the detail. I like the direction that you're taking it in. And I hear what you're saying about the fear. I hear it. Even every year, I've been using Twitter in my classroom now for four or five years, and it started with grade two students, and now it's in junior. And I hear what you're saying. The kids, they never really know how to react when I tell them that we have a Twitter account and that we're going to be sharing all kinds of things with the outside world and with our parent community and our school community. And I see it every year from grade two to grade five. They look at me sideways like, are you allowed to be doing this? Are we allowed to be doing this? And it's like, yeah, of course. Why not? What are we doing that's wrong is my first question. And they have a very difficult time answering that question because really we're not doing anything wrong. We're modeling how to use the tools and the different things that the tool could be used for. Mm-hmm. And so it's refreshing to talk to you about this stuff because there aren't a lot of people that I can find myself talking to who are on board. it's the same people all the time. They're already part of the tribe I belong to, moving in this direction of leveraging these tools for learning, for sharing the learning, for connecting, for improving, you know, our lives in general. Like, there's many different ways that can happen. And I know it stems from a Twitter account, and so many beneficial things can occur. So it's nice to hear you talk about that.
Absolutely. And I mean, and when you think about the fact that when students are that young and you have that Twitter account, you can have incredible conversations about what needs to be private and in our classroom and what can and should be public. And that is so important because, again, we complain about kids oversharing. But what experiences do they have? They have sometimes parents who are taking pictures of them without their permission and putting them on Facebook or Instagram. They see all these celebrities oversharing. Like, whoever has that conversation with them? And I do agree that it's it. And I did set out this book to be one where, if you believe in this, I think I say in the introduction, like, if this is already what you're doing, then please share what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And if you are someone who's new to this, then these are some examples. So it's hard to write a book about leveraging social media in the classroom for digital leadership, knowing that so many people who might be reading this book are people that know me through Twitter. So, you know, it's like I'm preaching, you know, preaching to the converted. Is that the expression? So my hope is that it goes further. I think that's what needs to happen. So hopefully we can spread the message in different ways.
You got me thinking about something that happened recently, and I want to share it with you. Then I want to move on a bit. But okay, so we talk about student voice. We talk about involving students in the conversation. So a little while ago, I was complaining to them and I was saying that I feel like our Twitter account isn't getting the traction it should. There's no excitement around it. We're trying different things and we're not attracting the connections we want. We're not attracting and engaging people. And my students said, well, you know, Mr. C, Twitter is not really where we're at. Mm-hmm. I said, well, tell me a little bit more about this. They said, well, for example, many of us have Instagram accounts. And I said, well, none of you are supposed to have Instagram accounts. None of you are old enough to have one. So I don't really understand how you can have one. And then they give you this, you know, grade five, they're starting to get a little savvy and a little bit of attitude. And they kind of look at you and they're like, that doesn't matter. So I said, I made them a deal. I said, if we can accomplish this, this, and this, I will consider starting an Instagram account for our classroom. And obviously it will be tailored toward your parents because you're not supposed to have Instagram accounts. And we all have a big laugh over this, right? And then I create my Instagram account and there's this huge buzz in the classroom. They are so pumped. They are so excited. And I'm constantly saying, okay, what's so exciting about this? And they're like, you are where we are now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, we told you where we live. We told you how we operate. And you've joined us in our realm. And our parents are really happy because our parents follow us and watch every single thing we do. So now they get to see the learning that's happening outside of school. Because I post math problems and things for them to ponder and think about. And the parents are loving it because they're like, we're so excited to see our kids go onto their mobile device, go into Instagram. They see, you know, what you're posting out for the class to consider or think about or whatever. And they're actually thinking, they're solving problems. They're engaging in discussions amongst each other about the learning, about how to solve the problem, or just not even sometimes it's a discussion starts because of a problem or a situation. And it's amazing. And now they've spread the word. So there are other kids in the school that I've taught in the past and kids that I've never taught who are much older. And they're all requesting to follow our Instagram account because it's where they are. And they know how it's going to run. They know that my Instagram account for the class is business. It's school. It's about learning. It's about having fun. But there has to be a learning component. Sometimes it's more fun than learning. But generally speaking, it's a place for us to continue the learning as we go forward. And just today, they said, what's going to happen in the summer? Are you just going to leave it alone? I said, no, my intention is to post things to that account just like I post to my account. If I see something that interests me or that I think you should think about, or if you tell me what you want to see, I'll find stuff to post. It's, for me, it's a dynamic process. It's not static. It's not on June 30th. It's not just going to stop. You know, for goodness sake, we've got kids in grade 8 who are following us, who are engaging in conversation. Mm-hmm. So people are there. They want to see it. They want to be part of it. I told them Twitter's not going anywhere because it's part of what I do. But if you're telling me Instagram is where you are and that's where I can help you with your learning, then I'll go there. And I did. And it's been a lot of fun. Like, it's awesome to hear the conversations. They don't just belong inside the classroom or outside the classroom. They're intertwined now. And so it's absolutely this constant learning experience all the time, which is precisely what I want from my students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, I wanted to share that with you.
No, it's such a fantastic story because it's so true in our sort of, you know, we want to go where we're comfortable, but we really need to go where parents are and we need to go where kids are. That's, you know, huge. And then the interaction piece, right, is huge as well. And what you said about, it being intertwined, Jorgensen says, he talks about digital dualism. So we understand the world sort of in analog terms and in digital terms, by we, like the collective we, right? But the kids really don't. This is really just a part of who they are and how they do business. So that's a great story. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, you're welcome. Congratulations on becoming a GEG Ontario leader.
Thank you. Oh, I'm so excited about that.
I saw that. I don't remember where I saw it. I've seen it all over the place. But I looked at the group of people who are going to be leading, and I was like, wow, this is a fantastic group of people. So happy to see your name there. Happy that you're helping take over and re-energizing the Ontario group. Not that it had lost any energy before, but it's always nice to have new faces. I know that I helped out a bit with that, and it's just not one of the things that I've been very good at getting to. So it's great to see fresh faces and real leaders in Ontario. Like every one of you, I'm looking at your face and I'm like, yep, that person is all about this, and that person pumps out content, and that person engages people in discussion over social media, and is always kind of up for learning. So congratulations and welcome to the club.
Thank you. Yes, I'm really excited and absolutely such a great group of people. I look forward to getting to know them all better. I think I've met all of them except maybe two of them in real life. So, I'm really looking forward to working with them and doing some interesting projects this year, hopefully. So, I appreciate that.
The last major thing I want to ask you about is, again, a motivation question, an inspiration question, and it has to do with what you might say to someone who seeks you out to ask you about motivation. So let's say you're at ISTE and somebody comes up to you who just heard you speak or has, you know, known you from Twitter and is talking to you and tells you that they're just not feeling, they're not feeling any motivation, they're not feeling any inspiration. And they ask you for your advice. What might you say to somebody like that?
Oh my gosh, that is such a hard question. I guess, like, I am drawing from maybe my concussion experience, because I've never ever not felt inspired by someone. I would have to say to reach out to people, like, especially, you know, at ISTE or anywhere, reach out to people who you know are inspiring, good people, because good brings good. And I think when you surround yourself with people that are positive, you know, that look at things, you know, optimistically, glass half full, that you naturally, I think, become that way. You know, it's true that the people we associate with often share some of our own traits, and that's what I would say, to seek out others who you find inspiring. And as a result, I think you will be inspired.
Awesome. Thank you for your perspective. And sorry to put you on the spot. It felt like I did, but that's not my intention. I just love to hear what people have to say, what their perspective is and where they're coming from. And I've heard a lot of different responses and I appreciate them all and they all make sense. It's just so, it's so amazing to hear the different ideas people have. And it always stems from where they're coming from, right? And their experiences. So thank you for providing us with your experiences. And geez, I hate that some of your new learnings are coming from your concussion and the experience you've had getting better. But it's almost like somewhere down the road, hopefully you will think about this time that you've been away from work and stuff as a time where you got to reflect a lot more than you could have because you had time to do so. Mm-hmm. And it'll be really cool to see where it leads you to. I have a feeling your continued success will just keep spiraling in a positive direction. Because I think you're setting yourself up for that. I think with the attitude you have and the work that you do and the fact that you're motivated by learning and that you're constantly doing it, I think how can people like you not keep finding themselves in situations where good things are happening and you're experiencing things that might not happen if you don't have like such a perspective? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been a real pleasure getting to talk to you on the podcast. I'm so happy that we were able to talk before you went to ISTE. Because you're going to be busy. And so I'm glad that you could carve out a little bit of time for me. Can you please tell us, if people want to connect with you, what is the best way to do so?
So on Twitter, I'm at jcassatodd, and you can find my blog at jencassatodd.com. And if you, my book's on Amazon, and if you read the book, then the complimentary resources are at socialledia.org.
Awesome. I will make sure in my blog post that I have a link to your book, and I will have a link to the sites that you just talked about and your Twitter account so people can access you from those points. Or if they're listening, then they can just simply get on their mobile device and catch up with you right away as they're listening to the podcast. So again, Jen, it was great talking to you. I'm glad we could connect. And I'm looking forward to hearing and reading about your ISTE experience in real time as you're going through it.
Thank you. And thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure. Have a good night.
You too.